I'm Erin Breen.
I'm Mackenzie McNabb.
I'm Shelby McNabb.
I'm Bella Rosen.
I'm Claire Breen.
I'm Bianca Rosen.
And we are the Leftovaries.
We're sisters,
Bay Area natives,
sing-along enthusiasts,
and we want to be your BFF.
Best feminist friend.
Hey BFFs, in this episode we discuss the different ways men and women are socialized to show emotions. We'll also talk about the benefits of having a high emotional intelligence, despite the fact that it's depicted as a negative trait by society. Lastly, we talk about how shutting down a woman's emotions, and specifically calling her crazy, upholds sexist systems of oppression. So let's get started.
Of emotions, and especially the gender difference between emotions.
The main thing for me is that women are allowed to show emotion. They're socialized, oh, it's okay to cry, like blah blah blah, blah. You know, in child development they talk about how younger girls, even your infancy, when they're crying, they're picked up and like coddled, and they're allowed to show their emotions. But even little boys are told, like, you know, no, like, no crying, no whining, like, I'm not gonna pick you up, you know, big boys don't cry, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So it just shows that from such a young age that we are socialized to maybe think that that's more of an acceptable behavior, and maybe little boys are socialized to think it's a less acceptable behavior, so they're more likely to suppress those feelings.
Yeah.
Or outwardly express them. But I am interested, like, because none of us grew up with brothers, so we don't know what it would have been like to have, like, a little boy in our household. But I am curious, it's like, if... I mean, it's definitely true that parents do treat two young children differently, but it just seems so interesting to me that in the same household, both little children that you could be treating them so differently.
No, but
I think that probably parents might not treat their kids differently, but then every day they're out at school talking to teachers, talking to their friends, and they could be getting it from anywhere. The movies.
And they do treat, I think parents do treat their kids differently.
Yeah.
Gender is seen as so absolute. You know, like, it's seen as like the biggest difference between two people.
Mm-hmm.
Not even like who's older. Not even like, you know, who has shown, you know, promise for this or this. Gender is seen as like something that makes such a big difference that parents would treat their kids differently based on their gender.
And you have to think of the, you know, go back in time, because maybe they don't really want to treat their kids differently, but they themselves were treated differently. Because I notice with, you know, we both, all of us have dads, and I notice with mine, he'll always take the back seat when it comes to me or Shelby showing emotion. And that's because maybe when he was a kid, you know, so he just retreats. He doesn't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
That's so interesting and true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I feel like a lot of men aren't given the tools to show their own emotion. And I've also said to you guys, I feel like men aren't given the tools to really utilize empathy, because empathy is taught, right?
Yeah.
So I know what you mean. Like, I'll tell my dad something, and I know that he cares or feels somewhere, but then he doesn't really have, like, a response. You know?
Yeah.
He just won't say anything. And that's happened to me with boyfriends before, too, and I'm like, why is there no response?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they'll be like, oh, I haven't experienced that, so I don't know. It's like, well, duh, you weren't in my shoes, but it's called empathy.
Yeah.
You imagine, and then you say, well, I'm sorry. That must be hard.
Empathy is definitely, like, a learned skill that is a part of emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think
it really
that it
is.
Could be, I think that, well, I'm not sure, but in my experience, I think it could be true that generally women in our society do have a higher emotional intelligence, but it's not because of anything biological, but it's because that we're taught from a very young age to be more polite and to be, I don't know, certain ways that It's men are taught to be more aggressive and less collaborative, and women are taught to maybe, like, work together and
what's so, I mean, so me and Bianca and kind of Claire are all sociology majors in college, and Mackenzie and Bella were both psych majors, and I mean, are currently also. And so one thing that we sometimes talk about is, like, as sociology majors, we feel like people often downplay those, like, learned behaviors, like, but it's really everything. I mean, we're taught every single thing that we know just from looking at the world and from seeing it from our parents and from society and from our peers and from our teachers. So to be taught gender is to really, like, okay, I want to say this better, but you guys know what I mean. Like, we were taught gender, and that doesn't make it any less real. The fact that it's not biological, but that doesn't mean it's not powerful.
These ideas are so powerful. I mean, there's the idea of self-fulfilling prophecies, where it's like, if you're told women are this, you're kind of like, oh, I'm this. I'm going to grow up to become that. Mm-hmm. And it really limits, I mean, you don't really want to, like, grow up to not be empathetic, but it really does, like, limit human potential when you're saying, you're this, you're that, you're not this, you're not that, you can't be this, you can't be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely limits human potential.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me how people are always pointing to the brain and being like, trying to say that there's a biological difference in female brains versus male brains, and that, like, that's the reason why women are acting this way.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, there doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Just explain the difference.
I think the important question, especially since we all agree, so we all agree that this has been socially constructed. So why?
Well, I think, I mean, part of the reason, I mean, yeah, like Shelby said, about how some of us are psychology and some of us are sociology, and we were talking about this a little bit off the mic, and how in psychology sometimes, or just science classes in general, it's like these gender differences are presented as facts, they're presented mm-hmm. as science, they're presented as, yeah, biological in your brain. So, and science has become such a powerful tool of knowledge production where we just take it as a fact and at face value. So then you're like, oh, okay, well, that's that. No questioning this, you know? Mm-hmm. And,
but let's go deeper.
Like, no, I know, but I mean, it's like, and Bella was just saying how her textbook, it's like in these textbooks that we receive, do you want to elaborate?
I love it. I'm going to keep going. Yeah, I mean, the textbooks, like, specifically just look at differences and, like, pointing at, like, you can't, like, you're either male or female, and if you're anything in between, then, like, it's not ideal. But I think
that's not mentioned at all.
It's not ideal. Yeah, it's, like, it's not ideal. But I think the big problem is that like, society has this need to put everything in a hierarchy. Like, just because there are differences seen doesn't make one better than the other. Like, who decides that it's better to have this than that?
I was going to say, the answer to your question of why, mm-hmm. kind of what Bella's saying, is to uphold a system of oppression.
Yeah.
Emotion mm-hmm. is associated with, like, you know, we'll talk about this more in a couple of moments, but, like, or maybe not. Associated, like, with craziness, you know, and, like, not being logical. So that's the kind of way to be like, oh, hey, like, you know, as a sex, men are more superior because we just have logic.
Right.
Like, we can be trusted to be president because we're not emotional. Yeah. Like, we don't get too involved in this or that. So it's a way to justify the gender hierarchy.
And these are strongly held beliefs that are being passed down from generation to generation. And we know that they were used as short as 30 years ago to justify why women shouldn't work. Why women shouldn't have the right to vote.
Yeah.
And so just because we've changed the laws doesn't mean that the ideology is not still present in our current society. Yeah. And it's still there, and it's being used for different things, being used to justify why a woman can't be president. Mm-hmm. And even when we break that barrier, like, the barrier may be broken, but the ideology will still be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's still being taught.
And actually, sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
I was just going to say, and then in terms of Hillary Clinton, she's, like, considered not emotional enough.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, she doesn't show enough emotion for her to be considered, like, a nice woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so people are like, she's cold, she's this and that.
And in psychology, a lot of the studies, like, after you control for all of the social context, like, there's barely any gender differences.
Yeah.
Found.
Yeah, so it's
kind of
funny because...
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, slow clap, I got you.
Just make it clap. Just make it clap.
I think something that we all agree is that society creates differences in gender, but biologically, like, inherently, the biggest differences between people is just different people's characteristics and personalities. Mm-hmm. Like, my personality is more different from one of you, like, a random woman's personality than it is different from a random man's personality, perhaps.
Especially from, like, a man. Like, if you did have a brother,
yeah,
maybe your personality would be more similar to his than it would be to another random woman's. Yeah. But maybe not, because maybe your parents really did treat you differently.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, you most likely are... you're likely to have more similarities between people who, like, went to your same elementary school,
yeah,
and grew up in your same town and are your same age than you are to have from, like, a woman in India, you know? Like,
yeah,
we're all going to have different,
yeah,
personalities from all the women across the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So something that we kind of all agree on is that personalities really creates a person and creates the differences between people.
Yeah.
Not gender, biologically.
But yeah, what's something that interesting that Bella brought up is, like, you know, so we all agree that it's not inherent, but Bella also brings up the point, well, who's to say that being emotional is negative? Like, so yeah, we can make the argument that women aren't inherently more emotional than men,
mm-hmm,
but let's say that they are acting more emotional because of socialization. And we want to talk about why it has to be a negative thing.
Well, that's, mm-hmm, what I was kind of getting at with asking why, and then we did, you know, discuss it furthers oppression. But yeah, it's like, who does it serve? And I think that it has to be negative because that serves a purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that purpose is to be like, okay, well, you're not doing this right. And it, I think, you know, maybe to, instead of using such broad terms as oppression and everything, maybe we can talk about our own lives, because I've seen this happen, you know, in my own life. If I'm pissed at something, you know, my boyfriend has done, or maybe even just a guy, he can go to his friends and be like, man, she was talking some shit, you know? Like, she did not know what she was talking about. She was being overly sensitive.
She was being a crazy lady.
She was being a crazy bitch, and she was being overly sensitive. And that serves the purpose to, you know, not really...
Well, it delegitimizes,
yeah,
and devalues.
That's what I was
going to, yeah,
say.
It takes issue out of the equation.
It takes
and
our
it puts
voice
it all
away.
On you.
It takes,
yeah,
our voice,
yeah,
away. So I think that really does serve a purpose, and that's why it's seen as negative.
Absolutely.
Remember that thing that... This is, like, interesting because it's not even a boyfriend or, like, a family member, but remember that thing that happened to you, Claire, when that your, like, Zim rider was late?
Yeah, I was doing a carpool situation off this rideshare website. And anyway, it's... I am paying this person a decent amount of money to give me a ride somewhere, so you expect when you're paying someone to... they're going to fulfill that promise.
The service that you purchased.
Yeah. And so we had agreed on a time. It was 2 p.m. And then he texted me at like 1:55. And he was like, oh, actually, I'm not going to be there. How about I pick you up at 3 p.m.? And I was like, you know, that's just not okay. We had an agreement. And I want you to uphold your part of the agreement. Just like I'm going to uphold mine of being ready at 2 p.m. and having my cash on hand.
Yeah.
And so, and then he was like, oh, well, actually, I wanted to take a nap. And I was like, oh, my God. You know?
But not even a good reason.
Not even a good reason. You know, maybe I would have been understanding if it was like, well, actually, I really can't get there. I would have been like, still annoyed because you're still not upholding your part of the agreement, but it was not even an understandable reason. And anyway, then when he got there to my house at 3 p.m. an hour late, I was ready to let it go because I was just getting in the car with this person. I wasn't going to talk about it really.
Mm-hmm.
But he just goes, oh, so you're really pissed, huh? And I'm like, yeah, yes, I was upset, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not,
like,
going to lie to your
it
face.
It takes away any accountability that he has for the,
yeah,
situation.
Yeah,
like, he's
say.
Putting it all on you. It's like, no, what's happening here is that you're late,
both, yeah,
and I just reacted to it.
Yeah, I just,
like,
called you out for not doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if it had been the other way around, I bet that I would have been like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, he was being so defensive, so,
mm-hmm,
like, you are out of line and blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
when he was clearly the out of line,
yeah,
one.
I mean, I would surmise that if you had been a guy, he would have been like, oh, sorry, dude. Sorry, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know? Yeah. I remember, too, when I had an ex-partner who used to say to me, like, oh, are you cranky with me? It's like, fuck you. Cranky describes someone who's just in a bad mood for no legitimate reason, who's just cranky.
Yeah.
It's like, that's another way to, like, delegitimize someone's
feelings.
It's kind
of like a child, too.
Yeah, it's childlike.
Yeah.
I'm cranky. You're mean to me. It's like, no, you're a dick. I'm mad for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's just a way to minimize, once again, like, women's emotions, women's feelings, and just disregard them as, oh, women.
Well, we can also obviously point out how many, it's probably been said to us many times that maybe even a partner would say, are you on your period? Or, like, are you PMSing?
Yeah.
Like, especially, has this ever happened to you where you're kind of, like, in the middle of a fight or something and they'll be like, oh, is it that time of the month?
That's never happened to me.
It's never happened to me. It's really rude.
Oh, it's happened to me! Oh, my God. I just thought of the time that it happened to me. We were all traveling for work. This was my coworker who said this to me.
You're not serious.
I'm serious. And we were traveling for work and, it was a late Sunday night. Like, no one wants to be traveling for work on a late Sunday night. We get to the house, and I was mad because, you know, I think that we had become really late, and one of the guys wanted to stop and get food or something, but I was like, I just really want to go home. We have to get up early to work tomorrow. And then when we got back, I was just kind of obviously in a bad mood. But I wasn't saying anything to any... I wasn't mean to any of them, you know?
I'm sure. You're minding your own business.
Yeah, I was minding my own business. I was just not in a happy mood. Which I was okay with. First of all, it's a Sunday night, and I don't need to be, like, working on it. But anyway, I'm just kidding.
You need to be, like, jolly. Like,
yeah.
You need to put it in all water. Yeah. And then you put some lemon water. I'm always happy, because, you know.
Yeah. And then one of the guys, we're sitting around the table, and he says, Aaron, are you on your period? And you should have seen my face, you guys. It was literally steam was coming out of the top of my head. I was
fire from your nostrils.
Yeah, fire.
It's just ridiculous. And then it becomes hard to, like, then it becomes hard to talk about your period in a way, because it's like, no, that's not the reason. But it's like, you also want to be able to talk about your period and the uncomfortable times that your period has sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't delegitimize. I don't know. Do you guys know what I mean, though? Yeah.
But then that's, like, scary, because then when guys like that, like, say to you, are you on your period? And it's like, and they obviously are, like, very misogynistic and being like, women are crazy. Their periods make them these crazy monsters.
Yeah.
It's like, it becomes complicated and difficult when that actually does make some women feel...
Or just increase hormones. In my opinion, yeah, like, and by the way, I was not on my period when this guy asked me if
I
was.
Yeah, so in that case, it's fully rude.
And my response was, I was just fuming red, and I was like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why do you say so?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I don't know, just wondering. Oh, just wondering, J-dubs, okay, I was so bad.
Did you stick up your butt? Just wondering.
Oh my god.
How big is there? Are there thorns?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But I think that, like, I actually do feel that sometimes about 2 days of the month, I feel slightly more down or a little bit more emotional than the other days, but also I kind of, like, keep a record of, I have this thing where, like, keep data on my daily days. Mm-hmm. But it's possible that you may not notice it, but I think that for me, like, I would be very upset even if someone did, if they're trying to guess whether or not I'm on my period based on my emotions, because that's really, really not fair. It's, like, delegitimizing your emotions and, like, what we're talking
about.
But you should definitely be able to bring it up and say, like, I might be feeling this way because of this, but no one should ever try to, like, guess what your emotions are.
Yeah, it's also just a way of not, again, like, we're saying, like, the are you pissed thing. It's, like, just a way of not taking accountability for, like...
for why you might be. Like,
yeah,
like,
and also,
it's about listening. Yeah. Like, let's say you are in a bad mood for a reason, or you're in a bad mood because you are experiencing some PMS symptoms.
Yeah.
For them to assume before you're able to explain, like, let's say you're close with this person and you do want to tell them the reason, they need to listen and wait so that they can figure out why you're upset.
Like, it would be rude. Like, yeah, like, it would be... like, sometimes maybe if you have a cold...
mm-hmm.
You would be really wanting to get home because you're sick. And, like, you are maybe being more cranky because you're sick.
Or if you're really hungry is a good cranky.
Yeah, you're really hungry. But it's, like, you still don't want someone being, like...
especially your coworker.
Yeah, you don't want your coworker, like, so be, like, or somebody when, like, they're late. Or, like, your partner, if they maybe, like, did something, you know, said something that made you feel bad. Like, you don't want someone being like, oh, you're just, it's just from your cold.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, maybe I could be like, I'm sick, I'm not at my best, so I'm gonna say that that's what's making me feel bad, but I don't want you to say it for me. Yeah. You know, like, that's maybe yeah. the biggest issue.
I think it was really interesting when you just said if it might be because of hunger, because you know those... commercial, the Snickers commercials, and it says like, if you're hungry,
not you when you're hungry.
You're not yourself when you're hungry.
Yeah.
Like, if you're hungry, grab a Snickers. That's the only time that it is okay for men to be acting out, and that's what that's when I put two and two together, that it's
yeah.
because like they're allowed to be hungry, they're not allowed to be emotional. Talking about how this this belief system negatively impacts women, and I do want to discuss how it negatively impacts men too, because
yeah.
you know, it's all connected, and we're on, you know, everybody's like side, and you know, men I think struggle with this, and they may not even, you know, realize it, but they're not able to then express themselves because it's gotten to the point where, you know, the emotions are seen as such a bad thing. And I've been noticing that antidepressant commercials only feature women, so men might be too scared to seek out professional help. They might be too scared to try some type of medication that may actually be really beneficial for them.
I had never even noticed that before, but then when you said that women are only featured mm-hmm. in antidepressant commercials, it's so true.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a single antidepressant commercials, and there's a lot of them. I feel like
yeah.
you see antidepressant commercials a lot.
Yeah.
And it's always a woman, which is so weird.
Yeah. Also, can you guys imagine, like, in terms of therapy, for example, like, women are always taught to, like, talk and share their emotions, and, like, even, we talk about this a lot, in terms of friendship groups, like, a lot of women share, like, intimate details about their relationships, about their family lives, and once again, men are not so inclined to do that because they're not taught and whatnot, so it doesn't even seem natural for men to be like, oh, I'm gonna go to a therapist
mm-hmm.
and talk about these things
or,
that I
yeah.
have taught to,
or
like, keep bottled up.
Go to his friends, even, yeah, because,
yeah,
I had a boyfriend who said to me, you know, well, that's why a man needs a woman, so that he can share these thoughts with, because
wow,
we don't
yeah.
like to do it with our friends. And, I mean, I guess, cool if he finds that special someone, but, you know, it's sad that... Men.
It is sad, and
is
like
sad.
You can't handle being the only person that your partner unloads on. That's like
exactly.
not fair
well,
to
you. Well,
you
can't because
yeah.
they're still like. Well, the thing is that they're used to not unloading at all.
Yeah,
and then it's like, so it's not like they're like, it's not like they're suddenly like
floodgates.
Floodgates.
That's
no, your depression are coming out.
Chip away.
It's just eking out barely. Like, that's how I feel.
Yeah. yeah.
But whereas for us, it's like we like. I mean, me and Bianca always joke about how Bianca calls, like, when she has a problem, she calls 5 different people. I'm always like...
I really
but
do.
But they all kind of do that, you know? It's like, if I had a bad day, go home, talk to my mom about it. Well, when I lived at home, go home, immediately talk to my mom about it. Like, if I hang out with you guys, talk to you guys about it later. Then, like, texting maybe my boyfriend about it in the moment. It's like, I had to tell 3 people about this issue that I had,
yeah.
you know?
I can't imagine keeping it bottled up. It's unnatural for me.
And it's fun, and it's so nice. Like, honestly, it's not... It doesn't mean... Me and Claire also had this conversation about, like, people telling... Sometimes the advice that people will give you is like, oh, just let it go.
Yeah.
And it's like, what they don't realize is that, like, I am letting it go. And
yeah.
this is like,
this is me letting it go.
This
yeah.
is me talking about it for the next 30 minutes.
And
then
it's
it
gone.
Go.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, and that's so nice to do. It doesn't mean that I'm like, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be, I think sometimes men or just people in general, less expressive people, take it as a sign that it's upsetting me more than it should.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, like, I'm not going to think about it tomorrow, but I just want to talk about it, you know, because I want to
yeah.
be loud to bed.
It's so true. It's like when you cry, you know, you need to let it out. It's like if you have an infection, you need to, like,
mm-hmm.
take care of it to, like, get
You know what I mean? Science. Infection. Stuff can need it's to come science. Out for it to heal is what I'm trying to say.
It's science.
But, yeah.
It's true. That I even have, like, a hard time sometimes talking about this, though, like, socially constructed differences between men and women. Because, you know, we're still acknowledging that the differences are real, and we're still talking about men and women, so it's like, at the same time, we're still using these terms and maybe creating, we're creating differences too, and we're not leaving that much room for people who don't identify as men or women. Yeah. We're not abolishing gender completely. I don't know, you know? So it's like, I have lots of internal struggles about, because, like, I do really relate with being a woman and having my, all of you guys who are women, so I feel really empowered by my women friends, so I do like talking about womanhood and blah, 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 but I don't know, but here we are using the terms woman and man a lot, and...
Well, I think it is, like, great in a podcast to give a special shout out to all, you know, like we could say, you know, shout out to the men who actually are in touch with their emotions, or shout out to
women who are not, like,
to people.
Bella,
no, yeah, and I'm talking about people who don't identify as either.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, shout out to people who maybe are dealing with something that doesn't allow them to feel emotions, you know?
Yeah.
And that's fine too.
I just particularly want to mention something that I read an article called Men Really Need to Stop Calling Women Crazy from the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a really good point, because maybe some of you listening right now are asking, okay, so women's feelings are getting minimized, people's feelings are being minimized, so what? Like, that does suck, but, like, why is this, like, so horrible?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, coming back to the idea of this, like, science-based differences, you know, kind of perpetuate a system of oppression. And what this person had to say, the author Harris O'Malley, he basically said that minimizing people's feelings is a way to control them, basically, to, like, tell them what they can or cannot feel. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really interesting point to consider.
It is.
Well, and it takes the responsibility off themselves, because let's say somebody did something rude to you or purposely mean to you, and then you're having a feeling about it, they're not taking the responsibility to either apologize or look at their actions. They're just saying, oh, you're feeling this because you're crazy.
This especially reminds me of, like, just racism in general, too, and, like, how especially Black women, when they talk about how certain things towards them are racist, and then people are like, oh no, you're just being crazy, that's not racist, I'm not racist. Mm. Like, that's just a way to delegitimize people, what people are experiencing as true.
Or they use the word angry, or, like, mean.
Angry Black woman, you know? So,
and men aren't really described as that.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, Black men are described in a different way, but definitely, you know, there is this huge idea of the angry Black woman, and it's just a way to control them, because it is mostly always racist, and that's just a way of controlling.
Just shutting down. Shutting down the conversation.
And then it causes people to question themselves and their own feelings and instincts as not correct. And when that happens, when you lose that solid foundation of, like, no, my feelings are true, this experience was true, that is so dangerous.
Also, as a domestic violence counselor, I've seen this a lot. There's that typical trope of the jealous girlfriend, you know, or, you know, the crazy, you know, woman in the relationship. And that makes it so that a lot of people maybe surrounding the relationship can't see the abuse, because she's the one who's overreacting.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, or it makes it harder for the perpetrator to maybe, you know, get help, because they themselves are obviously struggling with something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't really see what they're doing is wrong. They just think, oh, well, she's just too sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so this is, like, a dangerous thing. You know, it has a lot of
meaning for what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man, and how different genders, men, women, in between, wherever, interact with each other, and how they're defined in society.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're gonna wrap up, but I think one important thing after we've like talked about this, kind of like, what can we do now? Like, what can we like do about these like social constructs that I've said before, like, are dangerous, I think that we all believe are dangerous. Mm-hmm. I think two things that can be done is, one, like, banish the word crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop calling your friends crazy. Like, don't call, like, you know, let's just stop calling women crazy. Let's just try and, like, stop doing that. And I think another important thing, too, is for parents to, like, you know, think about, I mean, obviously not a parent, so I, like, don't understand how hard parenting can be. And, like, I actually catch myself doing a lot of, like, subconscious sexist things, actually, like, assuming that a kid's mom made their lunch out of their dad. So it's, like, inherent in all of us. But I think it's really important to start, like, naming emotions with children. One thing that I've learned that's really good to do is, like, turn to a child and be like, oh, hey, look, you've made your friend, like, really sad. You see, like, look, they're crying. They're sad. You know, or be like, I'm sad that you said this. You know, it's, like, really important to start naming those things early to teach empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
that
empathy is really crucial, and I think that should be taught to all range of genders.
Yeah, and just, yeah, listeners, if you ever find yourself feeling guilty about having a particular emotion, just, like, you know, find an advocate. Be an advocate for yourself, because it's probably totally okay for you to be feeling that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Normalizing feelings is so crucial. Though normalizing your own is kind of hard, but definitely try.
I try to do that.
Cool.
Well, thanks for listening, BFFs.
Yeah.
Love you.
We'll catch you next time. Love the Rosen Sisters.
See ya.
You're dope. Love the Breens.
Peace out from the McNabb Sisters.
Hi.
XOXO. The Leftos.
In the words of a broken heart, it's just emotions taking me over. Caught up in sorrow, lost in the song. But if you don't come.
You can check us out at www.theleftoveries.com. Or you could email us at theleftoveries@gmail.com. And if that's not enough, you can check us out on Instagram and Twitter at @theleftoveries. We look forward to hearing from you.
Good night. Good night. I'm there at your side.